We read through all these verses in Luke's gospel, but I wanted to just spend a few minutes tonight slowing down to ponder a few of these verses, 8 to 11, and specifically in chapter 2. This Christmas, I received a Christmas card that had words on the front of that card that arrested me. The words were from the song, Holy Night, O Holy Night, that we're going to hear in a few minutes. And the words in the first verse go like this on the front of the card. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And I think it arrested me because I was feeling weary at the moment that I saw that card. It stopped me for a few minutes to ponder those words, the weary world rejoices. What would make a weary world rejoice? And then I thought about being weary. Many of you may feel weary tonight. Tired, worn down, disillusioned. We want joy in this world, but it's elusive, isn't it? We want joy in our work. We feel the stress of it, difficulties, the pressures, conflict in the workplace causes many of us to leave our workplaces. Environment is toxic. We want joy in our retirement, to stop work, do the things that we enjoy doing. That just brings new turmoil many times as aging parents require more care. New anxieties come along with our children and grandchildren. We want joy in our relationships. But tensions arise, that new relationship with that young girl or the new relationship with that young boy are exciting at first, but then reality sets in, the breakup occurs, and there's terrible pain. We want joy in our families, but many times sibling conflict or family conflict causes us not to even get together at Christmas time. Not only that, but loved ones are taken away and fewer chairs around the table, fewer gifts under the tree. Only a reminder, a painful reminder to us that this world makes us weary. It's a weary world, right? And we know those shepherds that night, they heard this news, were surely weary. They're people that, just like us, living in a fallen world. It's a weary world, but they received a message in this weary world. God sent them a message, and it was an important message. It's a message for us tonight, in our weary world. It's a message we need to hear. And you notice what happened at the beginning of verse 8. If you have your worship guide in front of you, you may want to pull out those words in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. The shepherds are out in the fields. They're keeping watch on their night shift with the flocks. Total darkness outside, probably getting tired. They've done this many times before. And then we read in verse 9, suddenly all that darkness is broken and the glory of the Lord appears to these an angel. And they're filled with fear. They're terrified. They're terrified because they thought they could die, surely. When they come into contact with the living God and His glory and His majesty and His brightness, they are surely terrified, thinking they would die. But the angel gives them a different message tonight, not a message that should terrify this night, but actually a different message. And there are three things I want you to pay attention to in this message that the angel gives to the shepherds that night. First is, consider who sends the message. Secondly, consider what is the message. And thirdly, who's intended to receive the message? Who sends the message? What is the message? And who's intended to receive the message? Well, first of all, who sends the message? Well, God sent the message, right? That's pretty clear in our verses. Verse 9, we read that it's an angel of the Lord who appeared. It's the Lord's angel, God's angel. And the word angel, as you know, in the Bible means simply a messenger. It's a messenger of God to give a message from God. We can't pass over that too lightly. Something very important that we all need to hear as human beings, because it's telling us that God has communicated to human beings. God hasn't left us in the dark, but God's spoken. There are many times when people are tempted to ask, right, why doesn't God just speak to me? And there are times when people in the world will tell us God is silent. But we learn here that God's not silent. Matter of fact, Francis Schaeffer, Christian pastor and writer long ago, had two books that he wrote, and they were titled this. The first book was The God Who Is There, and then the third book was titled He's There and He's Not Silent. We don't have to wonder who God is or what he thinks, because he's communicated to mankind. He's spoken. He sent messengers to speak throughout history, and he sends angels to speak. And we're even told in the book of Hebrews that in these last days, he sent his own son to speak. He speaks to us by his own son clearly. Another important thing to consider about God speaking is that his speech is reliable. When God speaks, it's not like human beings speaking. When God speaks, it's different. Human beings, when they speak, have limited knowledge, right? There's information that we don't have. There are things that we don't know. Not only that, but we can be deceptive in our speaking many times, right? Shade the truth, tell a little white lie or outright lie. But when God speaks, it's not like that. It's never like that because God's not limited in his knowledge. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's no information that he doesn't have, and he knows the end from the beginning. We're told that he tells us in his word. He never lies either when he communicates. So the message that those shepherds heard that night and that we hear tonight is a message from God. And consider this. Not only has God spoken, but he's given you ears to hear it and eyes to see it on the printed page. Even if you lose your hearing, you may lose your hearing someday, but you can see God's word. You may lose your eyesight someday, but you can hear the ability to hear that word. He gives mankind ears. He gives them eyes. He gives them these faculties to let them see and hear. If your eyesight is gone, you can hear with your ears. If your hearing is gone, you can read with your eyes. You know, I just sat with a woman a few weeks ago who told me with sadness that she no longer had those capabilities. She told me she could no longer see out of one eye and could barely see out of the other. She told me she could barely hear. I had to speak in her ear, practically yell in her ear and be right up next to her ear. And she said, I don't hear very well, so I just sit. Sadly, it's essentially all she can do these days. So consider the blessing that you have tonight if you're here with ears that can hear this word, or eyes that can see it on a printed page. God speaks. He speaks so that we can hear, see it. God does. It's a message from God. But secondly, what is the message that he sends? Well, that's clear in our text as well if you look at verse 10. Notice what the angel says to these shepherds that night. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It tells us something important, doesn't it? It tells us right away that God sent good news. And what a relief that is. Think about it for a moment. We notice that these men were rightly terrified when they saw the angels. Whenever God comes on the scene in this kind of a display with his power and glory, the normal response for a human being is to be in fear, terrified. It's normal to be terrified for us as human beings ever since the fall. That's been a normal response of human beings ever since they rebelled against God in the garden. When God comes on the scene, mankind hides, terrified. And rightly so. Adam and Eve, when God came on the scene in the garden, hid. Rightly so. They were terrified in his presence. Rather than being close to him and loving as they had in that relationship, they were terrified. When a child's caught with his hand in a cookie jar and mom comes in the room, he's terrified. That's exactly what happened in the garden, isn't it? It makes sense. When Adam and Eve are in the garden and their hands in a cookie jar for the very thing God told them not to do in their rebellion, it's terrifying to see God come around. It's how it is when God comes, because he's holy and we're in rebellion. And so even when God's messenger, this angel, comes in his power and glory, they're rightly terrified, these shepherds are. And notice that's why the first words out of the mouth of the angel are significant. The message God wants to communicate is good news. And that's an incredible relief, because God surely could communicate bad news to human beings. What's the bad news that God could speak to us as human beings? Well, it's the bad news of justice, if you think of it. As a creator of the universe, God could give this message through the angel that night. Now is the ordained court. Stand up and come before me. And God has spoken in similar terms. He did through the prophet Micah long ago. If you read that prophecy in Micah, you know that one of the things Micah says to the people of God is, this is your day in court. God has an indictment against you. That was not a good word to hear from God. As you know, an indictment means a formal charge, an accusation of a serious crime. God was calling his people to him and said, okay, now's your day in court. And it was a terrible day for them to hear such words. And that could have been the message of the angel that night to these shepherds. Could have been God's message that God has a formal charge against all of us as human beings. And God wouldn't be wrong or unfair to say that message. After all, he is the God of the universe, the judge of the moral universe, and he has a formal charge against us, and we all know it deep down, don't we? It's what our conscience is. Our conscience is that voice inside of us that says, you shouldn't have passed that person by. You shouldn't have said those words. You know you don't have a reason to hate that person. We try to push it down and push it away, but God has a solid case against us, and we know it. And that's why these words from the angel that night are such a relief to us as human beings. They should be a relief. They're not bad news of justice. They're words of good news, because notice what the shepherd, or the angel, says to the shepherds, fear not, I bring you good news. What was the good news? Verse 11, the angel goes on to tell them, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This news is not bad news of God's justice, it's good news of God's mercy. Think about that. Instead of sending final judgment, God sent a Savior. God sent one to rescue mankind from his terrible justice. God sent a rescuer. And he told them, this is mercy, flee to him, fear not. And he spoke to them these wooing words through the messenger, the angel, that night. Do you notice that? These are really words of wooing them, wanting to come closer. They're fearful and they're running away. And the angel is given this word from God, saying, no, when you get to the angels, they're going to be terrified. Tell them, don't fear, don't worry, don't be afraid. I have good news. Don't run away. That's God's message to them. And you know what that's like, don't you? I had that happen in our yard one day. I was out in our yard, and I saw this small bunny. And it was hurt, obviously, sitting there. And it was near its mother. And then as soon as I saw it, I wanted to move toward it to help it. Mother runs away, and the little one limps away. And as I get closer, it gets farther away. As I get closer, and I remember, and you do this kind of silly thing, don't you, as if bunnies can understand our language. Go, oh, no, 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 don't run. No, 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 I want to help you. Don't. You know that feeling? That's what these shepherds were hearing from the angel. God was telling this message, no, 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 no. Don't run away. This is good news. No, 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 don't run. Don't run tonight. I'd say the same thing for you. Don't run from God. tonight. He is giving a message of good news. And he tells you, fear not. Don't run away. Come to me. Come to this Savior. It's good news that I have. So what is the message? Good news, God says, for us, all of us tonight. It's good news. A Savior's born. Praise God. But thirdly, notice who's intended to receive this message. To whom is this message given? Well, verse 10 tells us again, right? And the angel said to them, these shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. And the you is emphatic here. It's emphasized. It's emphasized to tell these shepherds this good news is for you. You guys, right here, and all the people, but for you specifically. And it's a news, good news of great joy for you. That's what makes good news great joy, isn't it? When it's for you. It doesn't give you much joy when the good news is for somebody else, right? I mean, if you hear that all the other employees at work got a Christmas bonus and you didn't get one, it wouldn't bring you great joy, would it? It'd be good news, but not for you. Same thing is true here tonight for these shepherds. The good news goes to them. He tells them, I bring you good news. It's for you. It's meant to be joyful for you. And that's why it's so good to hear those words from the prophet Isaiah, right? He says it in this way. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. It's good news, and I would encourage you to hear it that way for you tonight. It's good news for you. Not good news for somebody else, just you're here to hear, but it's good news for you. And unless you hear it that way, you won't have great joy at the good news. You have good news, joy of good news when it's good news for you. And the shepherds knew it was for them, but also it was for all the people. This was a message of God to mankind. And that's why God told them it's for you and for all the people. So what did they do? We read about it. They went into Bethlehem to see this thing that God had done, see this child that he had told them about. And then what did they do? We're told that they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. A Savior has been born for you. That's what they went and told people. Guess what? We just got a message from God, and God said for you, a Savior has been born for you. It's God's message for mankind and for you tonight and for me. So who's intended to receive this message? You are. That's truly what makes it good news for a weary world. And if you're here and you're weary tonight, God intended this good news to be for you in the midst of your weariness. I encourage you to hear it that way so it can give you truly great joy tonight. We're going to hear now these words from O Holy Night. We're going to have it sung, and we're going to light the candles as we have it sung. And I would encourage you to listen to these words and listen for these words from verse 1 tonight. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this good news. We thank you for giving us good news. Give us joy tonight in this good news as we remember our Savior and know that you've given us a Savior for us tonight. We thank you for not bringing your justice without your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.